The Royal Man Report, presented by Kelly's Westport Inn, with Casey Royal Man, Mike Engel, and fake Ned Yost, produced by Aaron Gnerk. Outro by Andre and the Giants. And now, the Royal Man Report.
It is a brisk Sunday evening here in Kansas City, Missouri. My name is Mike Engel. I'm joined by fake Ned Yost.
Hello, hello.
The Jack Klugman to my Tony Randall. Jeff Herr is here in studio.
How's it going?
I had that one planned for like a week.
That was awesome.
So that's what I did on Thanksgiving break.
A little effort into that one. Well done.
And if you're watching live on the live stream, you will recognize the person in the fourth chair, at least if you're a Royals fan, because he's on every game. We've got Joel Goldberg here from Fox Sports Kansas City here in studio. Joel, how's it going tonight?
It's going well. Good to be here, guys. I love the setup.
Yeah.
I say that affectionately, too. I mean, it's, you know, because you can go into the other radio studios and everything is prim and proper. And this is, you know, I mean, there was a Pee Wee Herman doll here.
There was.
There's a Ghostbusters logo on fake Ned Yost's microphone.
If you hadn't have made it, we were going to interview the Pee Wee Herman doll.
Is that how it was going to work?
It was going to be a lot
he
of...
He was holding your spot for you.
Yeah. I don't know if that's good or bad.
It was going to be a lot of the same comments, I think. So, a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, this is our first show back in the studio since 2 weeks ago, since we took off for Thanksgiving. But if you go back, we talked to Ryan Verdugo on our last show here. A lot of interesting stuff from him. Found out he's a Harry Potter fan. If anybody's interested, he would have been in Gryffindor. So that's cool. And his sister is gullible and believes in unicorns.
Yes, she does.
So that's the story.
At the Omaha Zoo, no less.
At the Omaha Zoo. Because if they're going to be anywhere, they're going to be in Omaha. We also had a special episode with Kevin Goldstein, who was very generous with his time, gave us an hour of... thought it was pretty good stuff.
I think it was outstanding.
Yeah, I mean...
If you haven't listened, you need to go back and listen to that show.
You really do.
It was phenomenal.
In my opinion, it's our finest work.
Until tonight.
Indeed. Exactly.
I can't top Goldstein.
he's
great,
man,
by the way.
He's
right? He's awesome.
He really is.
Great. Everything he does is great.
Yeah, I mean, he's good insight, and he's not afraid to share it either.
We could have Goldstein and Goldberg on like the same podcast and just have them read the phone book. They both got really good broadcast pipes, so that'd be great.
That sounds like a law firm is what it sounds
Goldstein
like.
Goldstein and Goldberg.
He gets all the questions, too, like all these Jewish questions and stuff. He's not Jewish. So people like, will ask him stuff. I'm not Jewish.
I don't know what to tell you on that. I don't know. Since our last show, it's been a pretty busy week. We were only speculating on what was going on the new collective bargaining agreement. Just kind of to hit the high points, there is a basic draft cap now, which depends on who you ask if it's good or bad for teams like the Royals that are small market. My first reaction was I didn't like it because the Royals have really caught up to other teams by investing in the draft and investing in international signings. And so, you know, I felt like it took something out of them. But some other figures that I've seen coming up are that the Astros, who picked first overall, are going to have about $11.5 million to sign. And their first round pick is going to be capped, or at least it's going to be recommended at $4.5 million. So I looked at what the Royals did last year, and they spent about $11.3 million. So if you take away the $7.5 million we gave Bubba Starling, maybe they'll be able to be creative and make it work. So I'm willing to see what happens in this first year before I, you know, really jump back on the soapbox. Bruce Chen re-signed with the Royals for 2 years. A lot of people happy about that. Bruce Chen is, you know, he's been on a series of minor league and one-year deals, and I know he's really been looking for that two-year deal or a multi-year deal. And from reports, he took a little bit of a discount to come back to Kansas City. So, Joel, you see him all the time, definitely more often than we do. What's your take on Bruce Chen as a pitcher, and then also as, you know, just somebody in the clubhouse and where he fits kind of with Kansas City?
Well, he's great in the clubhouse. You know the personality. There's not a teammate that dislikes him, and that counts for something. I know that those those type of situations or those type of characteristics don't factor into, say, sabermetrics or numbers, but they count for something. They certainly count the opposite way when it's a bad guy. Everybody loves Bruce. The amazing thing to me about Bruce Chen, and I remember the first start that he got. It was 2 years ago. Gil Mesh was about to go on the disabled list. It was in Boston. And the reason why it stands out to me was I was walking into the Starbucks in the team hotel. I think it was a day game. And there's right behind me in line Bruce Chen and Gil Mesh, and I'm like, oh, that's weird. There's the guy that's going out, and there's the guy that's replacing him. And by the way, I think Gil made fun of whatever drink I had ordered, and then oh, look at that little girly drink or something like that. And then he orders some Frappuccino Mocha something, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what are you talking about? I think they ordered two of them for each other. But anyway, I remember sitting there thinking, man, I mean, Bruce Chen's going to fill in for him against the Red Sox, and I think he went maybe three or four innings
Four innings.
I want to say four innings. And it wasn't bad. I mean, it was it was what you would have hoped for in that role at that point. Since then, he's been awfully consistent, and I think that when you talk to people nationally, even scouts and people like that haven't seen every one of his starts, I think they have an image in their head of, well, you know, this is we know who Bruce Chen was, so it can't possibly be what this is. But I'm sorry, what we have seen over the last 2 years has been pretty much the same game in and game out, and it's been consistent, and when you talk about the price, it certainly makes sense.
Yeah, and he's been somebody who's bounced around. He's been with the Expos. He's been on the Orioles. He's been on
everywhere.
Probably like 10 or 11 teams before the Royals. So I think that he gets that label of journeyman. And that's unfair because in the last 3 years, he's improved his numbers every single year.
I was to piggyback off that. I mean, when you look at it, look, I have his stats pulled up here. I'm not going to go through them all. But, I mean, after last year and after 2010, when he had that pretty good season and led the team in wins and whatnot, and it was a situation where they said, oh, well, this isn't sustainable for someone like Bruce Chen. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I mean, he sustained it for another year. And not only that, but he got better.
Right.
And a decent amount better. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, maybe history wouldn't tell you that Bruce Chen could be the pitcher that he is now, but you know what? Maybe he can be.
Yeah.
I like Jeff's got Fangraphs open, and like every other line where it has the teams, it'll say, you know, Braves, then it'll say two teams, three teams, and it's not, it doesn't list, you know, list one team per year.
And I have all the minor league stops hidden, so that changes things a little bit.
The screen's not big enough.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely traveled, and he's only 34 years old, so it's not like he's at the end of the line. He's always got, you know, he can do more, and I was talking to Bill Ivey on last Monday, and we were talking about Bruce Chen, and you know, we've got guys like Danny Duffy and Mike Montgomery and all these young pitchers. You know, he's seen it all and come around to be successful in the end. So I think that's some wisdom he can pass on. Some other news: the Royals signed Jonathan Broxton to a $4 million deal for 1 year, which surprised a lot of people. Joel, you and I were talking briefly through email that, you know, nobody heard about it until they announced that they had agreed to terms. So, you know, you get Jonathan Broxton in there. The Royals have a loaded bullpen right now. And, you know, it's a good gamble, I think. What do you guys think? Jeff, what's your opinion on Broxton?
I like the Broxton deal. It's one of those high upside things. And this is something that I've kind of been thinking about for a little bit now once we kind of learn more about the new CBA and everything. And, and I almost wonder if one of those ways that Dayton Moore or general managers of those kind of smaller market teams is going to find a way to get a leg up, and it's going to be finding someone like Jonathan Broxton and having those high upside signings to where he can sign him and he can help our team. Or if the Royals are in a situation where maybe they don't need him for whatever, maybe they're not in contention by the All-Star break or something like that, you know, you can flip him for a couple prospects. You know, you got the same thing with Jonathan Sanchez. You know, you can do the same thing with Soria. It's almost, that's just one thing
It seems like they're double insurance policies off of each other, because Aaron Crow was supposed to be that insurance policy if Story went down, and both of them were kind of miserable around the same time. So you get Broxton, he's coming off of an injury.
Yeah, he had some elbow.
Bone chips in the elbow,
I believe. Yeah. In the elbow, which is always good.
What you want to hear.
But, you know,
that's a little better than ligament damage,
no, that's good.
Tommy
that's good
John.
It's better than
and
shoulder tears.
And then you've got Aaron Crow, who is now moving the rotation, but let's say both of them, you know, go belly up or something, you can always bring him back into a bullpen role.
You can always put Crow back in the bullpen.
You just added another piece to the puzzle.
Yeah, and I think, like Jeff was saying, it's something that the Royals have done a lot. You look at last year, we bring in Jeff Francoeur and Melky Cabrera. You know, Melky Cabrera has a career year for $1.2 million, and we turn him into a guy in Jonathan Sanchez who has thrown a no-hitter. He's thrown a couple of one-hitters. You know, he misses bats, and that's something that the Royals don't always have. So definitely going with the upside in that regard. Jeff Bianchi was the player that was designated for assignment. You know, I really hope he kind of latches on somewhere because he's kind of been a – you know, he struggled with back problems and I think shoulder problems.
Tommy John, too.
Yeah, he's had all kinds of problems going through. But he's always been a guy who's kind of hit. So, you know, hopefully he can come through. We also, yesterday, Chris was out at U.S. Toy and you talked to Aaron Crow.
I had a five-minute interview with Aaron Crow. Got some sound, working the field out there. He was very appreciative. Thanks to U.S. Toy and the Royals for letting us come in and do that. And we got to talk to him, and we asked him several questions about, you know, starting and all that. It's a player interview, so it, you know, nothing super breaking news. But we talked about all kinds of stuff. We talked about him moving the rotation. We talked about Mizzou moving to the SEC. We talked about several things. So I think we're going to post that here later in the week and look for that on Kings of Kauffman.
Yep, that's going to be on Kings of Kauffman. Let's shoot for Wednesday. Let's call it Wednesday. So anybody listening out there, you want to check Kings of Kauffman on Wednesday for that Aaron Crow interview.
You want something juicy? You want something juicy from Aaron Crow? What he said, I was hosting a Royals event a few weeks ago, and he said in front of a bunch of people, he was asked the same thing about Mizzou to the SEC, and he gave the whole line about how we don't want to be left behind, and it's good for them, and blah, blah, blah. And for all I care, he says, I don't care if KU ends up in the Mountain West. I said, yeah. I said, you're a Kansas native. What are you doing?
Yeah, but, no,
you
know, he's not a KU fan.
Not at all. KU fan.
Anyway, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Joel, talk some Royals baseball, and talk about everything under the sun. How about? So we will see you on the other side.
We're excited to have an exclusive interview with the new iPhone 4 assistant, Siri. Hello, Siri. How are you doing today?
Thank you. It's nice for me to be here.
Siri, you've been pretty busy with the new iPhone launch. What do you do for fun?
It's just been crazy around here. I've been looking for a place to get away and wind down, but I have not been able to find anything my style on the plaza.
Well, have you tried Kelly's Westport Inn?
I show Kelly's Westport Inn to be at the corner of Westport Road and Pennsylvania Avenue.
It's got way more than that. It's been voted by The Pitch as one of the best places to meet guys in Kansas City. It's got a great laid-back vibe, plenty of TVs to watch sports, an awesome pizza place in the back, and plenty of drink specials during the week.
You say it's a nice place to meet guys? Accessing. This sounds like the place for me. Shutting down now.
You can't shut down. If you want to meet Siri and other great Kansas Cityans, check out Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road in beautiful, laid-back Westport. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
And welcome back to the Royal Man Report. That song that you may have heard was 49 Stones. We're here in studio. We've got Joel Goldberg from Fox Sports Kansas City. Joel Goldberg is, of course, the host of Royals Live. He's the in-game reporter for Royals broadcasts, and we're very fortunate to have him on the show. We were talking a little bit before about how the Royals are constructing their team and, you know, high upside signings like Jonathan Broxton and in the past, Jeff Francoeur and Melky Cabrera. So that kind of ties us into the winter meetings, which are going on right now. They start tomorrow officially, but everybody's arriving now. The Royals may or may not be big players in that. They've kind of, with the signing of Chen and the acquisition of Jonathan Sanchez, they may have the pitching that they're going to be able to find. Guys like Roy Oswalt and Mark Burley may be out of the price range. So, you know, we'll see. But the Royals are always good at keeping a tight lid on what negotiations are going on out there. You know, I think last year everybody expected them to sign Jeff Francoeur, but I don't think anybody really heard much about Melky Cabrera. And then when they traded Zach Greinke to the Brewers, I think every other team was mentioned, but the Brewers were one of the last ones anybody expected. So Dayton Moore could pull a rabbit out of the hat and do something. We never know. But you're going to want to be on Twitter because all the beat writers are down there and they have nothing better to do but to pass along rumors. Last year I was fortunate. I was able to arrange my work schedule so I worked in the evenings so that I could just sit around all day and follow Twitter.
Are so lucky.
I think I'm proud of that.
He was about ready to reach over and punch you.
Yeah.
Good thing you're too far this time.
That's what I do here. Yeah. It's my job.
Off the rails.
Off the rails.
Anyway, already.
Let's bring up the kind of the bigger news of the day. You know, obviously the Royals have done some changes in the broadcast or upcoming changes. Ryan Lefever has kind of had some uncertainty. And then obviously Frank White has been taken out of the broadcast. His contract wasn't renewed, to be completely accurate. You know, it's crazy timing that we get Joel Goldberg in here because this happens, and now, you know, you're kind of right in ground zero. This is right in your backyard. I mean, what are your initial thoughts on this kind of, you know, it's kind of chaos?
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, it's chaos more than anything, I think, because we're talking about someone that may be the biggest icon in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I mean, you could argue that he's the biggest because he grew up here. I mean, obviously, George mm-hmm. Brett's the greatest Royal of all time. But, I mean, if you're talking about icons in this city, at least in the sports world, you're talking about George, you're talking about Frank, you're talking about Len Dawson. Mm-hmm. There aren't a whole lot more, right? So, you know, the interest in this, as opposed to, say, if I was gone, if Ryan was gone, or any one of the rest of us who some people would be upset about and other people would cheer, mm-hmm. That's the nature of our business. It's Frank. So, I mean, that to me is the chaos. I mean, the side of, you know, replacing, and I have no idea who that's going to be, and all this type of stuff, that all plays out. The chaos is the fact that this is, you know, this is a man that everybody feels, I think just about everybody. I mean, if you were to go, I don't read the message boards a whole lot. From my job, I think it's better not to. Mm-hmm. I couldn't help but, you know, read it in this situation. And I think 99%, it seemed like, were, you know, upset by it.
Right.
It's one of the negatives of our business, and I suppose the sports business in general, is that it is a business. In this case, it goes, I think, a lot deeper. I mean, clearly we all know that we have two sides here that aren't seeing eye to eye. And that didn't just happen yesterday. I mean, that's something that you saw glimpses of in the paper last year. From my standpoint, a couple of points. I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing. I always try to stay out of everybody else's business. I think that people, you know, when the Ryan thing was happening and everybody said, what's going on with Ryan? Is he leaving? We're seeing rumors in the paper. Is he going to Minnesota? And honestly, I did not talk to Ryan until after it was out there that he was staying. Just because I don't want to be that guy that appears like I'm calling him to find out, you know, could there be an opening? Could I maybe be taking your job?
Right.
You know, and snooping around.
You don't want to measure the curtains.
I just, like, you know, I think, and it's the same thing I would think with the players. For the most part, they know when they're free agents or they know when there are trade rumors and all that, but they don't sit there and call each other up. Did something happen or where are you going? We kind of all go our own ways. And at least for me, you know, we spend 6 months together. We all get along really well. So I didn't ask a lot of questions just because I felt like it was not my business. Now, that doesn't keep me too informed, but it also keeps me out of trouble, I think.
Yeah.
So, truthfully, when I saw, I think the rumors you guys would know, I think they kind of started popping up on Twitter Thursday night.
Yeah, I think Nick Wright was kind of the first one to start mentioning.
Wednesday night, and it blew up Thursday and Friday.
And my concerns, because you'll remember there were rumors about Frank last year that were not true at all.
Right.
And that's one of my issues, is that there isn't a lot of accountability when you put stuff out there. Mm-hmm. And I really respect, say, the bloggers that have accountability. Others just throw it out there, and if it's right, then of course there's some reporters, by the way, that are like that too. If it sticks, I'm the hero. If it doesn't, forget about it.
You can just work it out in the next cycle.
But this one scared me just because I knew the history. I hadn't talked to Frank since maybe I'd talked to him like the week after the season about, who knows, end of the, you know, hey, what are you doing, that type of stuff. But I hadn't talked to him at all, and so then that. I saw the room. I knew it was Nick Wright. I know that he does Nick Wright's show, so that kind of scared me a little bit. Uh-huh. I also had talked to Kevin Shank that day, our producer, and I knew that that he had been let go, which on a personal level was very devastating because he's a good friend. So I kind of put it all together and said, this isn't good. And then obviously everything played out that way. And you know, I mean, it's from a personal standpoint, and for all of you that grew up in Kansas City, I didn't. My wife did. I hear about it from my family all the time. Yeah. I'm the guy that would walk to the ballpark on the road every day with Frank, walk home with him after every game, usually go out for a beer and talk about the game afterwards. So, I mean, I've been awfully privileged, and he's a good friend. But this business can be tough. It just It is. I mean, I'm grateful I'm still here. I never know how long I will be here. I mean, it's the nature of our business, whether it's ratings, personalities, egos, conflicts. And in this case, there's obviously pretty deep history here. And I hope that, forget about the broadcast, I hope that at some point, I know it's not going to happen tomorrow, right, maybe not next year, I hope that at some point everybody can get along a little better just because he's a Royal.
And it's right. it's very clear right now that things are just horribly raw, and this is a divorce, and this is all types of ugly, and yesterday was a pretty, or Friday was a really compelling day in Kansas City sports history, and I'm with you. This has happened to, Babe Ruth and Ted Williams and, greats of, they get sideways with organizations, and this is the type of thing that happens. But at the same time, the outpouring of support and love and emotion for Frank White on Twitter and
which he didn't follow any of that, but
wasn't he? Probably not.
He doesn't. But, he wouldn't even know how to get there.
But it was overwhelming, and I can only assume that people will just rush up to him on the streets if and when they see him, and hope that they will do that as well. Because he's an outstanding ambassador for this city.
As someone that tries to get from point A to point B with him on the road, and on the road, it's not as bad, but it can be at home. I've tweeted about that a couple of times on the road. Like, take 5 minute walk to the ballpark, it'll take 15 minutes because he's busy signing autographs the whole time. Then I sign one, and he's giving me the hard time. See, you're really important. Oh, just stop it. Frank, look at you signing the autograph. I didn't sign one. Why didn't you sign? Well, they got me earlier today. Yeah, exactly. But I talked to him yesterday, and he's doing fine, and he knows about that outpouring of support. I mean, he knows that, and I know that he appreciates it. And it's sad in the sense that, and there's obviously a lot going on here. There's a lot of history. There's a lot of stuff people don't know. There's a lot of stuff that people shouldn't know. I mean, when you look up to. I know all the baseball players. I know all the announcers. Every single one of us have our positives, our negatives, our flaws. But as a fan, you just want to root for someone. You just want to love somebody. And you look like, I don't know a lot of actors or anybody like that. I've got my favorite actors or musicians. I don't know that I necessarily want to meet them because I don't want to. I just want to like them for what I see. And in this case, and Frank, by the way, is, if you were to meet him, I mean, for those that haven't, he's everything that. You would think he's wonderful. He's a gentleman. He's awesome. But obviously, there's a lot going on here. And so my hope is just that at some point down the road, that everybody can get on the same page because he's a Royal.
Well, I think that Frank's a great guy from what we see and everything that we hear, and it's pretty certain that he'll land on his feet. This isn't going to be
I'm not worried about him.
Exactly. It's not a huge hurdle for him, but I think what'll be the challenge that I think the Royals really need to it's going to be kind of a fine line, but they obviously had difference with him as a manager and as a coach and as an announcer, but there's an appreciation for him as a baseball player for what he was in his time here, just as strictly as a player. That's a very thin line for the Royals to kind of toe, but I think they need to do that. Obviously, it's going to be a pretty salty relationship for the next few years. But like you said, at some point, hopefully, we can all put it back and just appreciate the fact that he is one of only three retired numbers for the Royals. He's one of the most recognizable Royals. He's historical. 8 Gold Gloves in at his position. I mean, how many people can say that? He's a very prominent baseball player in history, let alone the Royals. So that's going to be the challenge, I think, for the Royals, finding that way to recognize him as a baseball player.
And what I enjoyed about the broadcast, and you guys do and have done a great job with Paul and Frank, I can sit my now nine-year-old son down, and he's going to learn something about baseball. He learned a lot about pitching from Paul, and he learned a lot about fielding from Frank, just because see, he's not going to his left. He's not doing the crossover at second on the double play. And Paul would talk about grips and everything. And so I hope that the broadcast will continue that level in some way, shape, or form.
I think it will. I mean, if you look at I've worked with four guys in 4 years, which makes it sound like I'm either chasing guys away or they don't want to. But, I've actually, they're all friends, and just guys that I really loved being around. Because Frank was really my primary partner the first year on the pre and post game show. When Split was healthy, then Split got sick. Split came over and did a lot of work with me. Jamie Cork was there, and then this year Jeff Montgomery. So if you think about, I talk about this business and change and all that, and I say all that truthfully, wanting to be here forever. I love this place, and my wife grew up here, and it's just it's comfortable. But you never know. But I mean, you look at each one of those guys is now in a different role. Obviously with Split's passing, he's no longer with us, but. You just never know how this stuff is going to go. But I think Jeff's right. I mean, Frank's going to be okay. Everybody loves him here in this town. There'll be opportunities. I'm not worried about him. I just hope that down the road everything can be mended.
Right. We hope the same. We're going to take another break here. We'll be back for our third segment. We're going to talk a little bit about technology, I think. So that's coming up next on The Other Side.
Tell me if this might describe your situation. You're a Royals fan. You have been your whole life. It's been a long road, but you think the team is about to turn the corner. But then, it's the winter, and your wife starts to nag you about how much football you're watching. She says she wants to be fair. She says you need to rake the leaves. Suddenly, everything you've worked for is all on the table. The television, the DVR, the case of beer. Might I suggest to you another alternative? You need to go down and have a cold beverage at Kelly's Westport Inn. Hell, bring the wife along. If it doesn't work out, it's been named one of the top places to pick up single guys. Maybe you'll both get lucky. Whatever you do, get out of the house. Get down to Kelly's Westport Inn. The choice of a laid-back bar is an important one, and should not be made solely on podcast advertising alone. Kelly's Westport Inn and the Royal Man Report, partners you can count on.
And welcome back to the Royal Man Report. A lot of good stuff tonight. We got Joel Goldberg in studio. We're talking about the Royals, talking about a little bit of everything, Twitter and all kinds of stuff. That's going to be the focus of this segment. I've also got fake Ned Yost here.
And Pee Wee Herman.
Pee Wee Herman's around too.
Just trying to figure out.
I don't know that that still works.
Pee Wee doesn't quite work.
There's really nothing you could say.
There's been a gag
trouble.
Order installed on Pee Wee.
It's a real highbrow type deal. We're talking with Joel Goldberg and Pee Wee Herman here.
Well,
Royal Man Report.
I'm gonna leave it alone.
We just can't have nice things, I guess. One of the things we were talking about is the ability of Twitter to both create information and put it out there and really spread it, and you have more access to it. It's also a way that things can kind of catch fire and go out of control. But all in all, I mean, Joel, you're very active on Twitter. You're among, the Royals, the people that we see all the time and the broadcasts and things. You're probably the most active, I think
I'm the only one.
Yeah, I mean, Holtzey has his moments.
With our broadcasters.
Oh, yeah, with the broadcasts. I know Ryan doesn't. Frank didn't.
Monty doesn't. Yeah. I think he might be on now looking at it, but I don't know that he tweets. Nate does. Nate Buchady does.
Oh, yeah, Nate. Yeah, that's another one.
And we all kind of use it in different ways, I think. I mean, I think it's one of the greatest inventions since TiVo or DVR. And my wife gets ticked at me because I'm always looking at my phone, for the latest Twitter updates. It's an addiction. To me, it's a resource. And you'll notice that the majority of things that I tweet, and I've just kind of learned this, I just try to get information out there. And some of it's information you can get elsewhere. Some of it, whether it be the lineup every day or a conversation I might have or, promoting what we've got coming up on our show, is unique to what I'm doing. And I kind of just use it as that as far as sending tweets out and less of the personal stuff. I'm like the anti-fake Ned Yost.
God for that.
I don't know. And other guys use it for fun. And sometimes I'll, throw out a picture or a little something that I saw or whatever it is just to give people a little taste of what's going on the road or just something that they might not be getting. Mm-hmm. But the way I like to use it as a resource is that the people that I follow are typically ones that are going to either players, which you really don't get a whole lot from them, but I want it just in case, or just some of the good beat writers around the country and national guys that are going to give you links every day and interesting, you know, feature articles or whatever it is, just for me as a resource to help prepare. And I think that it saves so much time.
You don't have to look for it. It comes right to you. Yeah.
And it really has enhanced, I think, for the common fan, it's enhanced our love of sport. We watch sports live. You know, that's one of the few things that we actually watch on TV live anymore. And it's certainly helped me for a lot of different reasons, but we won't go into that. But it's helped our ability to enjoy sports. At the same time, though, that was an excellent phrase, catch fire. Things can just go...
Yeah.
Go nuts.
Country breakfast, anybody?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that was one of the funnest nights ever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's part of what makes Twitter great is just like, I mean, we all of us just sit around and, you know, we've all got different commitments and, you know, you live in Lawrence and, you know, we all live in different places, but we can, every night we can watch the game, we can be on Twitter, we can be in contact with everybody and shoot out tweets, and it's funny.
And everything we say about Joel Goldberg is all very positive and very, very,
I mean, it doesn't have
very
to be.
Outstanding.
Doesn't have to. I know it doesn't always. That's okay. Yeah. Yeah. My feeling, you know, like... For you guys, my feelings aren't going to be hurt. Really, they're not ever going to be hurt. I mean, you'll get a couple of really nasty things every now and then where it's just like, well, no, what was the point of that? You know, and if it gets really ridiculous, you just block them. And I think I've blocked two or three people over the years, and that's it. But, I mean, people have their opinions. I get that. And I also know that being really the only guy in our booth that's on, a lot of times, you know, including what just happened with Frank, people want to voice their opinions to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never really sure what that means. Do they... Sometimes it seems like they're demanding an answer, like I'm supposed to be
right.
the... Or like, sometimes I just think people want to get something off their chest. And, you know, without a doubt, I could guess that every day I put out the lineup and whoever the... It seems like there's always a player of the month that is sort of on the hit list. And it's never more than one.
Right.
And until somebody knocks him off, or until he knocks himself off, then that's the guy. So... right or wrong, you know, it would be Jason Kendall. And every day Kendall lineup we put out, there'd be comments about that. Then it's Chris Getz. Then it's, you know, whoever it was.
Whoever's in the leadoff spot. There was like a whole month at the beginning of the season. Yeah.
Except for when Alex Gordon was bouncing from leadoff to. Then this is what I love about this, too. And it's not necessarily just Twitter, but just the way fans see things and kind of a reminder that we all see things in different ways. You know, Alex Gordon moves from first to third, then back to leading off again. And all within like a matter of minutes, I'd get one fan saying, I love Alex batting leadoff. Next fan, this is ridiculous, Alex batting leadoff. And then the next thing, how they're messing with his mind. He's not going to be okay. Yeah, he's going to be fine. He's a professional. But, you know, people view things, see things in different ways. And so that, to me, sometimes is amusing, too, because I will get conflicting tweets from people all the time.
It's crazy because it becomes like a giant group therapy session that we all kind of work out our issues, you know, within an hour.
Right.
You know, okay, well, Alex Gordon's batting leadoff. Well, what does this mean? And then it jumps to A, to B, to C, all the way down to Z. And then after an hour and a half, we've all moved on to something else.
Inevitably, okay. We end up talking about Kit Pelo.
Yeah, Kit Pelo. It always ends with Kit Pelo, so...
Who's gonna tweet Goldberg today to make him say country breakfast?
Yeah, there you go.
And there's the campaign over and over again. Why won't Goldberg say country breakfast? What's the problem? And I mean, it's like, well, guys, don't you have anything else going on?
No, we don't.
I figured that out.
Yeah, I got one of those one day. That was a proud moment.
And we do. We pick on Engel, too. Whenever somebody's not paying attention to us, we just usually pick on Engel.
Right.
So.
Which Indeed. Is fine, because I can take it. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I
went to high school.
It's high school all over again.
Yeah, it's pretty much. Yeah,
well, I was wondering when we had Ryan Verdugo on. He's pretty active in Twitter. And
he's good. He's a good tweeter.
He is very good. And we were kind of asking him about that and asking him what the team thought, you know, and how they kind of monitor that or if they did. And he said they kind of had a meeting about it and told him about the social media and that kind of stuff. As far as with the broadcast team. Is that do they talk about that much, or is that something where since you're kind of the only one that does it, they don't really? I mean, how does that all go down?
You know, no one's really ever told me what I should or shouldn't say, or can and can't say, and can't tweet ever. And so, you know, I think just years of being in the business, I kind of have my comfort level just for myself and who I am, and I think that a lot of things can be misconstrued in tweets too. And they can, as we've talked about, take a life of their own. And so do you want to deal with the aftermath of that or not? You know, in Chris's case, that that is what makes your tweets go. You know, I mean, you are
exactly
you are tweeting for that reaction.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily doing that. I don't want to be in. And I think this is what they tell the players too. And I don't think that they're anti Twitter, because if you look at how much the Royals have now started to embrace Twitter in the last 2 years, you know, Mike Swanson and David Holtzman and
who both do an outstanding job, and
Dina Wathan. Really, I mean, they're really out there doing that. And you're starting to see now a pretty good wave of players do it. I mean, Hosmer's embraced it.
He's out there all the time.
Danny Duffy in the last month.
Ryan Verdugo. Doogie 11. Yeah.
And so you're starting to see more of it, which tells me that we're getting the younger wave. I don't think that the Francoeurs and the Gordons are going to go there. There's a dividing line there. So I'm going to, even at their still relatively young age, I'm going to say that they're old.
And you have to walk before you run on it. There is a learning process, learning curve with it. So
for the players, if they can retweet somebody that sends them, can I get a retweet today? They're making fans for life. I don't do that whole thing, which maybe makes them, because I'll get people every now and then, can you send a retweet out for a fan who's blah blah blah, and it's like, but that then that's
if
all
I
my
do that then
well,
you're
if
gonna
I start to do that then people I fear will probably unsubscribe or whatever to my if they're following me unfollow to get information.
I think the only time we all kind of agreed that was a good idea was maybe during some of the Joplin stuff. I think we all decided to try to get all that out. And you guys did a really good job. The Chiefs did a really good job with kind of getting that out with the patches and stuff, and with your St. Louis connections. That was a nice little deal that everybody tried to put together.
It could be real useful at times. Yeah. It could always be useful, but I think that there are times where it's needed. Mm-hmm. And it really does a lot of good. I love it. I mean, it definitely, like I said, it's an addiction, and it's entertaining. I think it's good. I think it's good for everyone.
Yeah, and it's for bloggers like myself and Jeff blogs for 610 and Chris does some things. You know,
was that what you call it?
You know, I don't ask him about it. It's kind of like The Godfather. Don't ask me about my business.
Right. You got it.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know
where the body's buried.
Right. I don't want to know how they make sausages. I don't care. Laws and sausages. Don't want to know. But it gives us access. I mean, if you go to the Royal Man Report, you look at the people that we've talked to on this show, Christian Colon and Jason Adam, Kevin Goldstein, Jason Parks, Bob Kent, and Joel Goldberg. I would say all but maybe one are people that we've contacted through Twitter that we otherwise would have had to go through a lot of other channels to get to, or we would have had to know somebody or, you know, just catch a break.
Right, all the stuff that's there for me, you know, I don't need it for that reason. But for you guys, it's opened up a lot of doors. I mean, I'm lucky enough, and you guys saw some of that, you know, that at the blog at the K, the access that's there when you're able to be there every single day.
And it's really nice that there are folks out there that do it, because it just markets the product better.
I
think it's not like we're, you know, it's enhancing. Hell, it's December and we're hardcore talking about the Kansas City Royals in 2012,
which can only be a good thing.
Right. Absolutely, you bet.
Yeah,
you bet.
I mean, in 2007, is that going to be happening? Probably not.
No,
I mean,
2007, not good.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of years that you can classify like that.
Now you're an iPad guy. You showed that off at the blog event. Is that your Twitter device as well, or is that the, I know you
it depends
use the
on
iScore.
What I can get my hands on quick enough. I mean, whether it's the iPad, whether it's my cell phone, whether it's computer, whatever it is, I usually tweet more on my phone.
See, he's probably got the super secret Wi-Fi password to Kauffman Stadium, not that public one.
Right.
It doesn't work real well. So we might have to get in with him.
I think I still had that on the netbook that I took out there. Where I tried to get into it, and it didn't work. Didn't work. Nice. Just had the general.
So you thought they were giving you all the access.
Right. We thought. I was going to try to get in and check, you know, player rankings and stuff and see targets. No dice.
Yeah.
No dice. Anyway, we are going to take another break, and then we'll be back for our fourth and final segment. A little bit more with Joel Goldberg, some more Royals baseball. And, that's what we got coming up on the other side. Stick around.
Trimming the tree. Opening presents.
Plaza Lights.
sitting on Santa's lap.
Christmas morning.
Christmas carolers.
Holiday decorations.
The wonder in a child's eye.
Sleigh bells.
Lighting the candles.
Snow days.
Holiday decorations.
Long lines at Walmart.
Your kids' holiday program.
Snow days.
0 degrees.
Christmas music on the radio just after Halloween.
Shoveling snow.
Snow days.
Scraping frosty windows.
They're out of the doll she wanted.
Your in-laws are here.
You got me socks.
Black Friday.
Personal property taxes due.
Your in-laws are still here.
Your mother-in-law taped Whitney instead of the bowl game.
Grandpa farted.
Had enough Christmas? Tired of the holidays? Kelly's Westport Inn has every bowl game on this season. There's plenty of cold beers on tap, a private heated roof you can put your mother-in-law in. It's just down the street at 500 Westport Road. Christmas is just a little easier at Kelly's Westport Inn. Merry Christmas and a happy holidays from the Royal Man Report.
Big Ned Minute.
Oh, who did that?
Welcome back for part two of the Fake Ned Year-End Awards. We call them the Fisters. Several more this week, and then next week we'll finish up with the big ones, best and worst in Kansas City sports broadcasting. Here's this week's round of Fisters, open wide, best local commercial. Now, I could only think of one nominee in this category, and...
That's me!
It's Calvert's Auto Center. Gary has gone from someone I was concerned might be a little bit brain damaged...
That's me!
...to somebody I actually take my car to.
That's me!
Worst local commercial is up next, and as good as Calvert's is... That's how bad our only nominee is for worst local commercial. Do I really have to say it?
Hi, it's Jen with Shawnee Mission Kia.
Not only will I never buy a car from
Shawnee Mission Kia,
but I don't mention
Shawnee Mission Kia
in any podcast I'm on. I'm so sick of
Shawnee Mission Kia
that I want to drive down to
Shawnee Mission Kia
and go to the
Shawnee Mission Kia
dealership and punch someone in the face. Best KC radio host. Next week, we'll be giving out our big awards for best and worst sports radio hosts. But this week, we'll reflect on the others who play Adele songs way too often. Your nominees were a Jocks from Mix 93. That's our friend Tony Lorino. Whoever is a DJ at 95.7 The Vibe. The Church of Laszlo and The Buzz. But our Fister winner is Afentra and her big fat morning show, especially Danny Boy 93. Great use of Twitter, funny, entertaining, and I always walk away mourning for the brain cells that I lost. Best local sports broadcaster. Lots of nominees for this one. We're actually very lucky in this town to have some great sports broadcasters. Here are your nominees for the best. Ryan Lefevre, Denny Matthews, Frank White, Mike Kelly, Joel Goldberg. But our Fister winner goes out to old number 16, Leonard Dawson. I never thought I'd offer a Fister to a Hall of Famer, but here I am. Even with the Chiefs having an absolutely season, Leonard seems to broadcast color for the Fox Football Network with passion. Although it does seem like he needs to drink more during the broadcast, because after almost every play, you can hear a groan or a mumbled, "Why the f*** did he do that?" He's never at a loss to criticize the home team, and that's what makes for a great sports broadcaster. Worst local sports broadcasters would include Jeff Montgomery, Bob Davis, Joe Buck. I know he's not local, but he's just that bad. But our Fister winner for the worst local sports broadcaster is Mitch Holtis. He's a homer, he's a blatant homer, and he's a blatant homer who has become a caricature of himself. And with that, you could put the hammer down on this edition of the Fake Ned Minute. Tune in next week when we'll have our final two Fake Ned Fisters, giving them out to best and worst sports talkers in Kansas City. This has been your Fake Ned Minute.
Fake Ned Minute.
Oh, who did that?
And welcome back to our final segment here on the Royal Man Report. Hope you enjoyed that Fake Ned Minute, or all three of those Fake Ned Minutes. We got to get you a stopwatch or something, man.
It'll be a Fake Ned half hour here soon. Stay tuned.
Well, you have your own show for that.
That's a good point.
Yeah, ramblingmorons.com.
My show yesterday was 2 hours, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched that show. And
2 hours, you'll never get back.
Right.
Indeed.
I mean, I could have been sleeping.
It's Danny Parkins' fault. He talked for an hour, so.
I know. That's who I'm going to blame.
Yeah.
Blame him. Right. Exactly. We're here with the usual suspects, except Troy Olson, who is in Canada doing the World Cup of Roller Derby.
What up, eh?
He's very excited about that under his special pseudonym of Colin Mayhem.
He has 19 pseudonyms. He has more pseudonyms than I do. That's saying something.
Two, right?
Well, that, you know.
That I know of. We're here with Joel Goldberg from Fox Sports Kansas City, and we're talking about Twitter and technology and all kinds of stuff. We were talking a bit about the Blog to the K at the end of the last segment and also during the break. You know, Chris and I were both part of the first Blog to the K. Troy was a part of the second one. Also, Ryan Wood from Kings of Coffin was part of the second one. You know, I thought it was interesting for me because, you know, I write every day on Kings of Kaufman. You know, I like to be able to get in there and talk to the players and get that kind of primary source. You know, I'm right there. I can take their quote. What do you think with the Royals' approach to those kinds of things? And do you see it developing and expanding in any way? Or what kind of input do you have in any of that?
I don't have any input. I don't know that I will.
We're talking about the wrong guy.
Yeah, no, I don't know that I will. I mean, I could only tell you what I observed. And uh-huh. I just think everything's moving in that direction. Uh-huh. And I think that, you know, once you start something like that, I don't think you do it once and then never do it again.
Right.
I mean, I would think, I'm just guessing, that it would there'd be more of it in the future and maybe be more of a regular thing. I think there's great value for both sides because
right.
and I don't know, you know, I don't know that it's a form of, you know, bringing everybody in and then you can monitor them. I mean, you guys are going to write what you're going to write, but I also mm-hmm. think that you can only be more informed by being there. Now, there's some
right.
value to not being there all the time because you don't have those personal relationships and, you know, you can take shots or do what you want, but I do think that there's less of a chance of somebody blogging completely erroneous stuff or just stuff that doesn't make sense, which, by the way, you know, you get enough of a following and you become an expert, and some deserving to be experts, some not. But, I mean, I know enough friends and I have enough people that'll call me when rumors pop up that are completely ridiculously false, but they saw it on Twitter, or they saw it from a blogger or whoever it was, and they're taking it for, you know, as the gospel. And there are some people that are better plugged in than others. But I think that beyond just giving you guys, or those that went, a peek beyond the curtain,
mm-hmm.
Which I know was really cool, and it was really cool for me to see how cool it was for you guys, I would think it changes your perspective on things a little bit and gives you some insight that you wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah, I always think, because, you know, a lot of times we'll sit there and you know, you can look on Baseball Reference and FanGraphs and you can look at the numbers, but you don't always see the day-to-day of,
right.
you don't, you know, I don't know if this happened or not. I assume it probably did at some point, but let's say Jeff Francoeur takes Eric Hosmer aside and tells him about some starting pitcher that's 35 years old that Francoeur has, you know, 90 at-bats against. He can give him an idea of what's coming, maybe an approach, or maybe just take someone aside about, you know, their workout or anything like that. And you're not going to see that in the box score. You're not right. going to see it in the broadcast because it's in the clubhouse. So I think that's something you kind of
there's a lot of mechanics involved in it that we're certainly not aware of. But at the
right.
same time, I mean, I've heard like Sir Petro and other guys in the press box say that every once in a while they'll just go down and sit in the stands. Well, I think it's a really nice turn of play for every once in a while some of these guys in the stands that I mean, you guys work harder than a lot of folks I know putting out great content on that website. And it's really nice to be able to go and see how, quote unquote, the other half lives, I guess, a little
yeah.
bit up there. At the same time, you know, you get both views.
Did they allow
really
you to
cool.
cheer in that box or no?
Wasn't it? No, we
really...
talked about. We actually talked.
Yeah,
about it. There was
we
one
asked.
Guy. There was one guy on ours that was kind of. I think he was in the military, and he brought like a jersey to get signed. So
uh-huh.
you know, I think they took care of him, but we all kind of just. Agreed that maybe we would just follow whatever protocol
that the
other press box did.
Yeah,
because
we still had to walk through the other press box
yeah.
at some point.
And the game we were at was like it was over by the fifth inning. It was pretty.
Yeah, it was like 8-2 or something.
Yeah,
it just wasn't going well.
Kid Pello.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, it was interesting because I mean, I thought it was interesting to just be there for the post game, talking to Ned Yost and
yeah.
seeing, you know, there's Bob Dutton there and Nate Buchady and Dick Cagle are all there and just kind of seeing how they go about their business.
Yeah, you guys yeah. had a closer seat to that. I mean, I'm never in on that, obviously, because I'm always doing the show.
You're doing the other stuff, yeah.
So I'm always kind of watching, really, the way you guys are at home.
Yeah.
As far as the reaction goes, because I'm seeing it as it's coming in.
But I think it's great. You've got a really cool job. I mean, you're the guy that gets to broadcast from the green inside the Green Monster
yeah.
and you all those other things. And how do you come up with those types of ideas? It, obviously, okay, you know, let's let's throw a camera in the Green Monster. Yeah. Let's go sit in the swimming pool and talk with the devil.
Notice Rays. I was not sitting in the swimming pool. Nobody wants to see that. There are others that have my job in other cities that would look much better sitting in that swimming pool.
Oh no, our chat room here on Royal Man Report, they've already replaced you with quote unquote some hot chick. So they want to see that happen.
You know, it's funny that because the girl that does the sideline reporting in Boston is striking.
She's attractive.
And very, very nice girl. She actually is leaving. She's going back home to California, I think, to work to do like Lakers broadcasts or I think something like that, of course.
Sure.
Well, she's a California girl. I know she was telling me she was really missing it at home. But, I mean, every year now, 4 years, it's inevitable. Whenever we play the Red Sox, the players just start giving it to me. Why do we have you? And they have her. And it'll go on for a good 2 weeks. One of my favorite moments of the year was we're sitting there talking about we need to trade. This happens every single year. And then it's like me and Frank Corn, I don't know who, maybe Mike Swanson, and they're talking about giving me grief of that. We're sitting there in the visiting dugout in Boston. And I said, well, why don't, I mean, it's not an even trade, you know, me for her. So what if we, you know, Frank Corr was like, throw him Billy. I said, that would even it up. Not like a minute later, Billy walks over. Hey, Joel, we're going to trade you for Heidi. I said, dude, you're in the trade with me.
Big package deal.
They put you up, too.
Well, fine. Then I'll be in first place. I mean, so it's you know, we have fun with that kind of stuff. But, no, I mean, to answer the question, it's for me, my rule when I go to Boston, I always have to do something involving the Green Monster. I don't care if I've done it every single year.
Mm-hmm.
I've probably done reports inside there two or three times. And it doesn't matter to me because you're bringing someone new that's never been in there before. Last year was Tim Collins.
Who's from that area.
Yeah. Frank and I went in there one year. One year, Frank and I just did a whole tour around the place. He had coached there.
Right.
We're signing the pole, the foul pole, Pesky's pole, and then we suddenly stumble into Bill Cosby. I'm like, whoa, this is really cool.
Roll tape on that.
Some of that stuff, yeah, and I did, and I interviewed him. He said, we go up and introduce ourselves, and Frank says, I'm Mr. Cosby, I'm Frank. No, you're not. You're Frank Black. And I said, Bill Cosby could say that to him.
Yeah,
and then Cosby knew very well, you know, who Frank was. But you know, in some cities, the National League cities, I've been to all of them when I was in the National League in St. Louis. So, you know, we go to San Diego for the first time since I've been here last year, and I knew we could do 1 or 2 days worth of tour around the ballpark because it's a great place. You go other spots, I can do a whole lot in Oakland. There's nothing to see. I go out, you know, every year and sit there and bang the drums with those kids out in right field and then get shredded on Twitter because a rally starts for the A's and I'm out there.
Now, I do have one question my 9-year-old fed me before the show.
Would this be higher brow or lower brow?
No, this is higher brow. He's a way better baseball fan than I am. I will guarantee you that. His question is this. We let him stay up when the Royals are winning because he likes to see the post-game interview that inevitably somebody gets a
pie in the face.
Yeah. And he also enjoys seeing you get shrapneled from the pie.
Yeah.
So his question was about that. He wants to see more pies in the face. And well, I guess with all the rookies last year, that happened quite a bit.
Yeah, and I think with a lot of the comeback wins. I mean, I never really know when they're going to do it. I always kind of want them to do it a little bit more because I think it makes for good TV. I don't think
it's always on SportsCenter. I mean, that's the
question. I don't mind that either. But, I mean, I think it's fun TV. To me, it hasn't gotten old yet. And then the one day Billy kind of dropped the Gatorade bucket and sort of poured it on himself, and that was funny. And I could usually see it coming, and so I'm sort of stuck in that hole. All right, I got to set the guy up here. He'll forgive me because it's usually a rookie, but I've got to kind of egg him on here. And it always looks like I'm scared, but it's just because you never know the trajectory. I mean, I can see it. I'm not trying to give it away. And I'm like, all right, they're going to dump the bucket over him because that ended up being the bucket a lot of times, the Gatorade bucket, and then the pie coming. Well, then they start throwing it straight sideways, and it's coming at me. So,
and with the peanuts, and Dave Darby, who's in our chat room, he says that his conspiracy theory is that you're the lookout.
I'm not really the lookout, but I always have myself positioned. So just based on the way I'm doing the interview, I do try to turn them so their back is going to be to somewhere, you know, if they kind of come around from that home plate side of the dugout, so I could always see it. I mean, I could always see them. You know, Melky was the best at it. He would take this long kind of circuitous route, and he'd be kind of tiptoeing, and you could hear the crowd building up a little bit. And I would just – I mean, there were times where the guy would finish his answer, and I would need to start a question, but I knew I wouldn't even finish the question. So I'm like – I literally would be like, so tell me about, and I'm like, I don't even know what I'm asking right now, because I'm not going to get there. I think it's fun. I mean, it's, you know, I did a lot of the champagne celebrations in St. Louis, because every, you know, you clinch the title or a playoff berth, you do it, and you clinch, you know, you win in the first round.
That must be terrible.
Whatever that is.
You know what? I do believe it's going to happen. I don't know if it'll be this year, it'll be next year. We're getting there. And I used to always have people say, like, and then the goggles started too, where people started to wear goggles. People say, why aren't you wearing goggles? Or, oh, that you're cleaning, Bill, those suits are ruined. Well, the champagne always came out, so that wasn't a big deal. It burns a little bit, but you know what? Have some fun. I mean, it's the same thing with the pie in the face. Have some fun. Those are the moments.
Yeah.
Nobody.
These are kids. These are. Right? Yeah.
And nobody remembers.
No other sport does this happen.
Nobody remembers the serious interview or the take one pitch at a time interview. I mean, you do them. You hope to get something out of them. Sometimes you do. But when it's a little bit different, it's the pie in the face, the celebration, it's the funny line. That's the stuff that people remember. And they do. And it's, you know, you could do the best, most serious interview ever, but nobody will say a thing. But then something goofy happens or, you know, whatever. You interview fake Guy Fieri, and that's all everybody remembers, you know? I didn't set that.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
No, it's okay. Let the record show. I'll still get tweets about it. It'll be like,
If you search for Guy Fieri's name, you're like on the second. Your name is on the second page.
You know, like a couple of times I've been told on the road, like he was at a game, he's like, he wants to meet you. He feels so bad. I'm like, well, don't feel bad for me. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I do 140 games a year. Figure during those games, 3 to 5 in-game hits. 280 shows a year for Royals Live.
That's the one.
You hope that one isn't dropping an F-bomb or doing something, you know, that's going to get you fired. In this case, somebody set up an interview for me with someone that wasn't who he was, and you know what? It's, you know, people like to have fun with it.
Yeah, I thought,
well done.
That's hilarious. We're running out of time here.
He'd be a good guest, by the way.
Big Guy Fieri.
Just go find like a good restaurant, and he likes to show up at, I think, you know, restaurants being that and trying to get free food. And then they figure it out and they kick him out.
Sweet.
It's a nice gimmick.
Yeah, he needs to be on my show.
Yeah.
APB for Fake Guy Fieri for the Royal Man Report.
Oh, all fake right. show.
I know it.
Big Ned Yost with the Fake Hall of Fame.
I love
it. It's coming, yeah. We definitely want to thank Joel Goldberg for joining us for some great discussion on all kinds of stuff. Always check out Kings of Kaufman. We've got that Aaron Crow interview that we're going to have later in the week. Next week, we're going to have Nathaniel Stoltz from Seedlings to Stars talking about some Royals prospects. In the meantime, we'll see you next week. And remember to go out to Kelly's.
We're excited to have an exclusive interview with the new iPhone 4 assistant, Siri. Hello, Siri. How are you doing today?
Thank you. It's nice for me to be here.
Siri, you've been pretty busy with the new iPhone launch. What do you do for fun?
It's just been crazy around here. I've been looking for a place to get away and wind down, but I haven't been able to find anything my style on the plaza.
Well, have you tried Kelly's Westport Inn?
I show Kelly's Westport Inn to be at the corner of Westport Road and Pennsylvania Avenue.
Got way more than that. It's been voted by The Pitch as one of the best places to meet guys in Kansas City. It's got a great laid-back vibe, plenty of TVs to watch sports, an awesome pizza place in the back, and plenty of drink specials during the week.
You say it's a nice place to meet guys? Accessing. This sounds like the place for me. Shutting down now.
You can't shut down. If you want to meet Siri and other great Kansas Cityans, check out Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road in beautiful, laid-back Westport. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.